cool.
Thank you. So hello everyone. I'm Atwaf Attahi. I'm a PhD student of computer science at Penn State, and I'm excited to present our work Bearscale, where we use a fairly new and different class of instances called burstable instances for, I would say, improving even more cost-effective auto-scaling system, because auto-scaling systems themselves are there for saving cost. All right. So auto-scaling systems are designed to handle the load variability that exists in the workloads. For example, if you look at this workload from Wikipedia access trace in a window of 24 hours, you see that the load is changing quite a lot during different hours of the day. So auto-scaling system, by resizing the cluster, they can save in cost. However, it turns out that they do not handle the short-term burstiness that are in the workload in a cost-effective way. So if you look at a shorter period of time in this workload, say 30 seconds, as we see it, there are lots of short-term burstinesses in the workload. And the problem is that current auto-scaling systems, in order to handle this short-term burstiness, they have to provision for the peak of the burstiness using the fixed capacity regular instances, which are expensive. So our solution for this problem is to use burstable instances, which are first cheap and also provide such variable capacity to handle such burstiness. That is, we use regular instances to handle the peak of the average of the load and use burstable instances for the rest. So our goal is to use burstable instances for cost-effective auto-scaling. And before seeing how we use burstable instances, let's see what are burstable instances at all. So simply, a burstable instance is a virtual machine that its CPU capacity is rate limited. And the way that rate limiting is done is that cloud providers use a standard token bucket or credit bucket mechanism to rate limit the capacity of the CPU that is available to us. That is, the instance receives some credits at a fixed rate per hour. For example, in AWS, the bucket size is up to 24 hours. And then one CPU credit means that we can use the 100% of the CPU capacity for 1 minute. And also other combinations are also possible. For example, we can use one CPU credit for 2 minutes, but only 50% of the CPU capacity is available to us. And they are offered by major cloud providers. For example, Amazon T3S small instance receives 24 CPU credits per hour, which basically is equal to 0.4 credits per minute. And given that one credit means 100% of the CPU for 1 minute, 0.4 credit per minute is 40% of the CPU at any point in time. Therefore, only 40% of the CPU capacity is available. And if we use the CPU less than 40%, we can sort of accumulate the credits, and once we have enough credits, we can burst to 100% CPU utilization. Therefore, burstable instances are fractional instances that have this ability to burst to 100% utilization. So why should one use burstable instances? Well, apparently they are cheaper, actually, and they can be up to 95% cheaper compared to a regular instance in terms of number of vCPUs. However, they come with two major downsides. The first one is that apparently the performance is rate limited. That means that we don't have access to the 100% of the CPU capacity all the time. And also, if you are looking for performance, it turns out that they are actually more expensive than the regular instances, because we do not have access to the 100% of the CPU capacity. So therefore, the only incentive that one would use burstable instances that they have this ability to burst to 100 CPU utilization. Otherwise, why should we use a fraction of CPU and pay the cost for it? All right, so now let's see how we do effectively use burstable instances in the cloud. And to answer this sort of broad question, we try to answer three more concrete questions. The first one is that for a given workload at any point in time, how many burstable and how many regular instances should be provisioned? The second one is that given that their CPU capacity is rate limited by the credit bucket mechanism, how we do make sure that they do not run out of CPU credits so that we can burst to 100% CPU utilization whenever we need them? And finally, we answer this question that if the short-term burstnesses become longer and some sort of flash crowds happen in the load, how we can use burstable instances to handle flash crowd in a cost-effective way. So to answer the first question, let's see how provisioning is normally done. So, well, it is the job of scaling policy of the autoscaler to determine the number of instances of the cluster at any point in time for a given workload. That is, suppose we have a cluster of, say, k instances, and we have a load balancer in front of the cluster to sort of evenly distribute the load among the instances, and the workloads come at a rate, say, lambda requests per second, and each instance is able to service mu requests per second. Now, the question that we have to answer is that, what is the minimum number of instances that we need to handle such a load? As a concrete example, assume that we have 40 requests as arrival rate, and each instance is able to handle 10 requests per second. Now, the question is that, how many instances do we need to handle such a load? Well, it turns out that the answer is simply dividing the arrival rate by the service rate. In this case, we need 4 instances. So therefore, we call this quantity R. So R is the minimum number of instances to handle a load of arrival rate lambda, where instances can serve mu requests per second. However, in reality, we have k instances, which is more than R, because we have SLO latencies. And also, we have variability in the load. So the scaling policy that we use in this work is the result from queuing theory, known as a square root staffing rule, where it states that k is the size of the cluster is basically r plus c square root of r, where intuitively it means that r, as we saw above, is the minimum number of instances to keep the system stable, which means that we do not build long queues at instances, and we are able to handle the load. However, because of the latency SLOs and the variability that exists in the load, we need the rest, which is C square root of R, where the factor C determines how tight our SLO should be. So our idea in this work is basically to use burstable instances for the second part. That is, after K instances in the cluster, we use R regular instances to handle the bulk of the load, and the rest, which is simply k minus r, as burstable instance. Okay? So now, going to the second question, that how do we make sure that burstable instances do not run out of credit? The problem is that if we naively overuse burstable instances, they can, in a short time, run out of credit, and only the fraction of CPU will be available, which is sort of useless, right? So how do we make sure that they do not run out of credit so that they can at least accumulate credit so that they can be used whenever we need them? Well, the solution for this problem is simply to unbalance the load. And the way we do this unbalancing is to use a weighted version of join the shortest queue dispatching policy at our load balancer so that it unbalances the load among burstable instances and regular instances so that they receive less portion of traffic compared to the regular instances by just setting a weight for burstable instances. Now, the question is that how do we set the weight so that burstable instances do not run out of credit? So the goal here is to make sure that burstable instances earn credits, or at least do not lose their initial credits, right? So, and burstable instances earn credits when their CPU utilization is slightly or completely less than their baseline CPU capacity. Therefore, we periodically monitor their CPU utilization and also their credit state, and dynamically adjust the weight so that their utilization is less than their baseline, and also, so therefore they earn credits, or at least they do not lose their initial credits that are given by the cloud provider. And going to the last question, that how we do handle flash crowds using burstable instances. Where flash crowds are unpredictable sudden changes in the load, where in a very short time, the load might increase by, say, a factor of m, right? Now, the challenges in handling flash crowd is the delay that we have to incur to first bring new resources and also warming them up, as we saw in the keynote. So, and during this period, basically, we are under provision, and hence violating SLOs or even dropping some requests, which leads to violating SLAs even, right? So one common solution is basically to do over-provisioning, which is a common practice. For example, Netflix in their Project Nimble, they use some sort of standby capacity for over-provisioning per cluster to handle unpredictable flash crowds that arise from data center failures. So the way this over-provisioning is done is that for normal provisioning, we had this load with arrival rate lambda. Therefore, we needed our regular instances and the rest as burstable instances. Now to do over-provisioning, even though the load is lambda, at any point in time, we pretend that the load is m lambda because we want to handle a flash crowd of factor, say, m, right? So therefore, we have MR regular instances and the rest with burstable instances. But the problem with this approach is that, again, we are using fixed capacity regular instances, which are as a standby capacity, and they are not fully utilized, which is not cost effective. Therefore, our idea is to use burstable instances for the standby capacity part. That is, even though we are pretending that the load is m lambda, but the actual rate is still lambda, right? So the true number of regular instances that we need is still r. Therefore, the rest, which is like a more portion of the cluster, will be used by burstable instances. And I have to note here that once the flash crowd is detected, burst scales, we update the weights of burstable instances so that we can use the 100% of the CPU capacity to handle the flash count and also mask the delay of provisioning, So to put it together, this is a high-level overview of a bare scale where which it is implemented on top of AWS, and it has three major components. The first one is the monitor, which simply collects the statistics from different part of the system. The second part is the scaling policy, which basically, given the workload and the state of the system, it determines the size of the cluster at any point in time. So here we use a square root staffing rule for our scaling policy, and I have to note that other scaling policies can also be applied to give us the K, the number of instances, and then we use a square root staffing rule to decouple this K to R and basically K minus R. And finally, we have the controller, which given K by scaling policy, we determine the ratio of burstable and regular instances, and then it allocates and deallocates the instances from the instance pools that we have on AWS. And also, it has the job of detecting the flash crowd, and once it detects the flash crowd, it updates the load at load balancer to basically use the accumulated credits of burstable instances to handle the flash crowd. So to evaluate bare scale, we deploy a Wikimedia application, which is the web application that is used to operate Wikipedia website, and we use the Wikipedia access trace as our workloads. We use M5 large instances with two CPU for our regular instances and T3 small with the same number of CPUs as our burstable instances. And the scale at which we evaluate bare scale is such that the cluster size changes from 20 to 70 instances during the evaluation. And finally, bare scale uses a combination of regular and burstable instances. Therefore, the baseline that we compare bare scale's performance is a cluster of only using regular instances, which we call it reg only. So the first case that we evaluate is a load where the load doesn't change much, but there are lots of short-term burstinesses and transient spikes in the load. So this is how bare scale performs compared to the baseline. As you see, both are within the defined SLO in terms of average latency, and also the bare scale performance is comparable to a cluster of only regular instances. And also, we make sure that bare scale does not affect the tail latency in a bad way. And as you can see, its tail latency is comparable to the baseline. So this is how the number of instances changes during the evaluation, and this is how burstable instances are used. So initially, their weight is equal, so after a few minutes, bare scale learns the appropriate weight for burstable instances, and after that, the utilization of the burstable instances becomes slightly less than their baseline performance to accumulate the credits. So as you can see, initially, they are given 60 initial credits, and once the weight is set, at least they do not lose any credits. And the amount of cost saving in this case is about 17%. And the last case that we evaluate is handling a flash crowd where we induce an artificial flashcard in our workload. And this is, again, how bare scale performs. Again, the latency is within the SLO, and its performance is comparable to the baseline. And again, bare scale does not affect the tail latency while handling the flashcard. And this is how the number of instances changes. And here, as you can see, that because we are using burstable instances for the standby capacity part, the number of burstable instances is higher than the number of regular instances. And this is how they are used during the once the flashcard is detected, the weights of burstable instances updated so that we can use their CPU capacity. And this is how we burn their credits during handling the flashcard. And for the interest of the time, the amount of cost saving that we have here is about 47%. And this brings me to the conclusion where our goal was cost-effective auto-scaling using burstable instances. And the challenge was determining the appropriate number of burstable and regular instances, and also making sure that burstable instances do not run out of CPU credits. And our solution is bare scale, which handles these challenges. And also, our result shows that while maintaining good performance, we have promising cost savings. So the cases that I showed for evaluation was a stateless web application. We also evaluated bare scale with a stateful application, which is a Memcached cluster. Feel free to find more information in the paper. And also, bare scale is open source at the site, so you can check it out later. And I'd be happy to take any questions. I'm sorry about that.
Okay. Hi, thank you for the interesting talk. My name is Jan Lagarden. I work at SAP. So my question is, do you know if the cost savings are any different for other cloud platform providers other than AWS?
Yeah, this cost saving reports are from current AWS pricing. We did not evaluate it on other clouds.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yep.
Oh. Thank you, great talk. I'm Hossein Mirhosseini from University of Michigan. So one question that I have is that in these burstable instances, there's usually no guarantee that CPU utilization can ever go up higher than the base level, even if they have the credit, because they're naturally oversubscribing the resources, and sometimes they might be bursting altogether. Mm-hmm. So does your autoscaler take that into account and sometimes over-provision even more to account for this effect?
Well, the case that you are saying that is for rare cases. It's not like always, because if that's the case that you can't go beyond your civilization, even though if you have credits, then why they are offering this instance? The situation can happen in very rare situations, but the thing is, and also we are bursting to 100 CPU capacity only in case of the load increases or flashcard happen. So I think that should not happen much.
Thank you.
Yep.
Okay, could I request Varanshi to set up in the meantime? Yes, please.
Thank you for the talk. It's Emre from Boston University. You saw in your results sometimes like the bursty one has a higher tail latency. Could that be because of what like he just said, that they can't really burst so fast? Or
no,
did you investigate why the tail latency is higher at peaks?
No, that was just because of handling the flashcard, because we had a huge fluctuation in a short time. That wasn't because of the case that he said.
Okay, thanks.
And I'd be happy to talk more in offline if you want.
Okay, I had a question, but you don't have time, it seems.
I can,
that's a great candidate for a poster anyway.
Oh, thank you.
Great job for the first talk, right? So another round of applause at all.